As I told you, I've been instructed by my boss to preach about breaking curses in our lives. Last week we had an introduction, and it was quite a ride. I had some people calling in a little anxious. I had people calling in happy, and some people calling in mad. Why you have to talk about that? I said, I don't know. Do you have to take on God? Because I work for Him, and I better obey. My Bible say to obey is better than sacrifice. Is that right? And this, my little butt is on the line, so I got to do what the man tell me to do. We will continue with finding, identifying, and breaking curses in our lives and in our lives of in the lives of our family. Today's lesson 2. Many people has lived their life, their Christian life, there is, from paycheck to paycheck, from hospital to hospital, from counseling services to counseling services, and they have never enjoyed the fullest or the fullness of the life that God intended them to live. And many times when we speak about Christian having curses in their lives, is immediately repugnated. I don't believe Christians can have curses in their lives. And I'm here to say, who of you, how mistaken you are. Let's first give you a biblical definition of curse. According to the word of God, in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 65, a curse is God's recompense, or a curse is God's reward in the life of a person or in the life of his or her descendants as a result of iniquity. Should I say it again? A curse, according to Lamentation 3:65, Lamentation of Jeremiah, is God's recompense or reward in the life of a person and in the life of his or her descendants as a result of iniquity. It's God's rewards in the life of a person or their descendants as a result of iniquity. One of the good things that curses brings to people who have them, they always have sorrow of heart. That's not good. Let's make it easy for you to understand. But the worst about curses is it gives demons legal entry into a family whereby they can carry out and perpetuate the wicked plans. What do you mean by that? Let me use myself as a reference so nobody get offended. My father used to be a drunkard. That man drank every single day as long as he could put his hand in money. Sometimes he would get so drunk that he vomited and he fell on his own vomit. I made a choice that as long as I have dominion and power over my faculties, I will never ever, ever put alcohol in my mouth. And I've been around the planet Earth for quite a while. I can tell you, cannot tell you what is the taste of vodka or whiskey. Not even beer. Some time ago, I met a chosen frozen preacher. Not too long ago. In a seminar, a preacher seminar. So we went out downtown, and he asked for a Buddy Miller or something. Budweiser. Whatever. Oh, well, laugh as much as you want. I don't drink. Budweiser. You're on the top of it, huh? All right. Hopefully you don't use them. And then I asked the guy, what is the taste of this? Well, it's good. How good? What is the taste? Is it sour? Is it sweet? So it's bitter. I said, you're the dumbest fellow I have ever seen. Why in the world would I drink something that is bitter? Come on. I chose not to follow the footsteps of my father. My children, if they are stupid enough to drink, they are calling that curse upon themselves. But they will never be able to say, my daddy used to drink. I want you to stay with me here. As a result of my father backing away from God and doubting and denying the existence of God, he was driven into a life of drunkardness. We're still together, right? That curse was never broken out of his life. My younger brother, he's younger than I, is a drunkard. And because that life has not been broken, that curse has not been broken in his life, his two sons are drunkards. Are y'all following with me here? A curse is God's reward or God's recompense in the life of a person or his descendants for iniquity. Watch this. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them. A lot of people don't pay attention to the word veiled heart. My father had his heart veiled by the prince of this world. What? Yeah. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that in the last days, because men will be lovers of lie more than lovers of truth, God has delivered them a spirit of lying so that they may not understand the truth of the gospel. I hope you follow me here right now. When a man or a woman make a choice to back away from God and believe in some idiotic thing, they are setting themselves up to be veiled by the prince of this world. And when their hearts is veiled, curse will be upon them. So you say about upon their children too. How's that going to be possible? Nobody have a chance. This is how a curse is perpetuated. I saw the stupidity of my father's action. It came a point when I could make a decision if I would become a drunkard or not. I chose not to because I chose to follow God. Therefore, the curse could not be perpetuated. Is anybody listening to me here? When a man decides to go out and find a girlfriend, which is another lie from the devil, and you're going to be upset, you get over. I want somebody to show me in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible where it says you should get a girlfriend. You should date 3, 4, 5, 6 months before you get married. There isn't. Everybody does it. Wide is the way that leads into destruction. How many are going? Many are going through it. But narrow is the way that leads into life. Few are going through it. So we don't do things because everybody else is doing. When you do because everybody else is doing, you are exposing yourself to a curse, which I'm going to be talking about a little bit down the street. I'm saying all this to say, so that you can understand that a curse is God's recompense for iniquity in the life of a person and in the life of their descendants. We're still together, right? There are several words on the scriptures that can be translated as curse. There are several words that can define curses. Here are some of them. Iniquity. Perversion. Persecution. And destruction. Brother Harry, can you put there the same scripture? Put it 64 through 66. Make it easy for the folks to understand. So do we know now what is a curse? My goodness. Do we now know what is a definition of a curse? It's God's reward. It's God's recompense in the life of a person and his descendants for iniquity. Right? Lamentation 3, 64, and 65. We all know now it's a curse, right? Let's get this thing together here. Repay them, O Lord, according to? So you can see that curses can be coming through you, to you, and to the life of your family through the works of your hands. Isn't that right? Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them. We're still together here, right? Many times, church people are covered with fail and frustration. And they are living a life characterized by continuous setbacks and misfortunes. You know anybody with that? It seems like no matter what they may do in life, they cannot obtain the blessings of God. It seems like blessings are eluding them. And the sad part is that many of these people seem to be sincere people. People who believe in God and love the Lord. They seem to be born again, and some of them even spirit-filled. But they are still living under a shadow. Somebody may say, how can a believer be under a curse if the Bible says that we have been delivered from the power of curse? Well, you need to know the difference between what is legally ours and what is experientially ours. Just because something is legally ours does not mean we will have it automatically. Are we together yet? I don't understand what you're saying. Very simple. Your mom and your dad are rich. They have about $3 million. And you are working a $15 an hour job. So what they have is theirs. Isn't that right? But if they die, it's legally yours. Is that correct? Is that how it's supposed to be? All right. Legally, that is yours. Now, let's say mom and daddy died, and they left you $3 million, and that money is on the bank. Legally, technically, it's yours, right? But it's not going to do you any good until you take the lawyer, go over to the bank, take possession of that money into your bank account. Then, and only then, you're going to be able to enjoy those $3 million. Are we together? Well, let me say something to you right now. We have things like this happening in the church today when it comes to spiritual matters. Sickness and diseases, according to the Word of God, has been taken care of by Jesus in Isaiah 53:5, where it says that by His stripe we are healed. Is that correct? Yet there are many believers in the church who have not appropriated themselves of these blessings, and they continue to battle sickness. Is that correct? Despite of the fact that the healing is part of our redemption, it is not automatic. You have to take possession of it. Even though you are legally redeemed from it. So what's the deal here? Well, we have an adversary, a low-life piece of garbage, good-for-nothing punk called devil. Are we together here? And according to the Lord, his task is to kill, to steal, and to destroy all your blessings. And he is determined to keep you away from what is legally yours. So what do I do, preacher? You gotta fight the good fight of faith and take possession of your blessings. And I'm not going to go through, but if you want to write down 1 Corinthians 9:26, 1 Timothy 6:12, 2 Timothy 4:7, all these scriptures tells you got to fight for your blessings. You don't have fight God to bless you. The blessings is already yours. But you have to make sure that the devil will not be hindering your blessings from coming true. One may ask, can a believer be under curse? Legally not. But experientially, yes. What do you mean by that? Satan may not have a legal right to enforce a curse against you. But we all know that he is a lowlife, an outlaw, and he will attempt to do that anyway. That's why oftentimes curses have to be broken in the life of believers. And we as Bible-believing people must learn to stand in faith against the curses of the devil. We as Bible-believers must learn to stand in faith and keep curses from operating in our lives. How are we doing that? Well, one of the ways to start with is closing all the doors. And then another way to work with is very simple. Is stand on your foot and do not accept it. Give me an example. When I was out in the secular world working, every job I went, I do not work on Saturday and Sunday. I don't want you. That's all right. You go somewhere else. God always honored, because on Saturday I used to go to Shabbat school, Shabbat service. As Jews, I wish my children would know a little bit who they are. On Shabbat, we were in the synagogue. And on Sunday, I had a church service going on. So if you want my services, you're not going to have me Saturday and Sunday. You stand for what is right. Many times, I have got testimonies of people. They left and they are home. They are doing well, worshiping their home idol. And you know what? It always goes to the same channel. the Center for Broadcast of Socialism, CBS. And they start watching some crazy stuff. The preacher, all of a sudden, I had this headache. I had this thing come like over me. And I start fighting. In the name of Jesus. Is the TV off? Not yet. In the name of Jesus. So finally they get to their senses. They turn their idol off. And they start praying. And they resist. And the thing goes away. It must go away. Because the Bible says, resist the devil. And he... So one of the ways to keep the curses away from our lives is knowing who we are in Christ Jesus and is standing on the Word of God. I tell you, this past week was rough. That piece of garbage wants to lay a sick on my body. So don't know you piece of garbage, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Curses oftentimes has to be broken. Because the promises is in God's word that you and I should walk free of curse. So how can I identify a curse? Some of the stuff I'm going to say this morning here will mess up your beliefs. And everything that I'm going to tell you today is backed up 100% by Scripture. There are evil spirits at work. And we don't know who they are. One of them is called Allah. Excuse me? The Hebrew word for curse is the word Ta'Allah. And Ta'Allah is a variation of the root word Allah. A-L-A-H. Means curse. I met a young lady this past week. She is the daughter of a preacher. And she decides to marry a Muslim. It's a girl, you're the dumbest woman I have ever met. Excuse me. And you say, you is a preacher? I is. That's what she says. What kind of preacher you is? So the one you tell you bluntly, the word Allah means curse. Oh, it does not. Yes, it does. Should I go and pick up the Hebrew scripture and show you? No. Then I say, I can guarantee you have a disease on your body right now. How did you know? You married a curse! From the day that she got married, on the next day she fell and broke her ankle. Ankle. Right? Doctor said there's no cure for that. She takes only 8 Tylenols a day. Then she got a blood disease that is incurable. Has to go to change blood, whatever the thing is, every week. Now her husband gets sick. And her father was against, his father was against the marriage. And now his father, or her father-in-law, died. And they're saying that he died because she's a Christian. She has to convert to Islam. Sometimes curses will come upon us because we bring curses upon us. How many types of curses are there? Let me give you 5 of them. Sexual perversion. And I got a scripture for that. I'm not going to talk about that. Second type of curse. Financial perversion. Third type of curse, religious perversion. I got scripture to back all that. Spiritual perversion. Got this. Behavioral perversion. Here's one that is really a big thing in church today. Family perversion. You got scripture for that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Any more? Yes. You want another one? Speech perversion. What are they? Well, let's go into it. No, I'm not going to go into it right now because you need to understand that behind every curse there is a spirit. Are we together so far?
Yeah.
Say what? Behind every curse, there is a spirit. Let me read some of this right now. A spirit of anguish. That's a curse. Broken spirit. That's a curse. The Bible said that a broken spirit God shall not despise. You need to understand what I'm saying. Then you get the kick out of this. We'll give him another one. Compelling spirit. That's a curse. Yep. The word compelling, it's not a good translation. And you guys will see it in a few minutes. Spirit of deception. Or deceiving spirit. Got this. Deep sleep spirit. What? That's a curse. We don't have this here. But how many churches you go and the service is going on, somebody is. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm a little boring, ain't I? And I had some people sleeping here recently. Yeah. I'll give you another one. Distress spirit. That's a curse. Errant spirit. Now, E-R-R-A-N-T. Errant spirit. Now, there's another one. Spirit of error. E-R-R-O-R. All these are curses. That's not on the Bible. So before we go into those things that I told you about, different types of curses, I want to take you through a few of these things here now so you can understand where we're coming from. Well, because it is a spirit, it really operates in the spirit realm. Why? The spirit is the life of a person. Is anybody listening to me? Our spirit is the area where we discover God's revelation. Our spirit is the area that we attain knowledge. Our spirit is the most profound part of our being. It's what connects us with God. Doesn't the Bible say that God is the spirit? And those who worship him, how must they do that?
In
his spirit and in truth. It's the area where we learn to discern God's truth and the lies of the devil. So when the Holy Spirit and our spirit commune, the Holy Spirit will give our spirit wisdom. It will give us the power to make wise decision. It will give us insight and good sense. It will communicate with our spirit about specific information, specific facts, and data. When the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit, it will give us understanding and help us to comprehend the things of God and what is going around us. It will help us to interpret and discern the times in which we live. What does it got to do with curses? Well, curses are manifest in forms of a spirit. And these different spirits will be working to try to hinder your Christian walk. Trying to cause turmoil and brokenness and disappointment with God. And when we don't fight these spirits or stronghold, these spirits, they become strongholds. And once it becomes a stronghold, the evil spirit have legal rights to influence demonic activity in our lives. Now, this thing is kind of crazy. Yes, it is. Let me tell you something right now. If you have the opportunity to say the truth, but it's going to cost you $100, and you say a white lie to skip that $100 ticket, guess what? You just opened a legal door for an evil spirit to come in. What kind of spirit? Lying spirit. And then next time you find yourself in a jam, you say again another light, white lie, as they call. Guess what? Now that the spirit is in first twice, on the seventh time, it becomes a stronghold. And once it becomes a stronghold, you no longer have a control because you got used to lie. My mother used to say, liars are thieves, liars are cheaters. Are we still together? No, for you to understand this, let me give you some of the examples I was talking about. Because curses are manifested in different kinds of spirit, it is necessary for you to understand that many of this stuff you cannot fight with tablet. You can fight with prayer, fast, and Bible reading. Amen. Let's go to the first one. Spirit of anguish. Brother, can you please give me Job 7:11 on the King James? Job 7:11. Real quick. I feel like you're breaking that clock. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. So you can tell this guy's a big mouth, huh? Didn't he say he will not restrain his mouth? And he goes on to say, I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. He's actually saying that he has anguish in his spirit. In other words, it's a spirit of anguish. Now, the word anguish over there is the word tsar. T-S-A-R, Hebrew word tsar. And what is the meaning of the word tsar? Afflicted. Anguished. Distressed. Tormented by affliction. Anxious, agonized. That is Ruach Tisa, spirit of anguish. Now, tell me, honestly speaking, do you think in a million years God would give you this kind of thing? The question is, how did this thing get into his life? Well, the ways that spirit gets into us varies. It may get through association. It may get through what we see. And sometimes through what we say. I don't believe it. That's your business. When you are found in the companies of fools, the Bible says that you become a fool. When you start talking stupidity about yourself, guess what? As a man thinks in his heart, and I could go on and on and on and on. So there are people that they are constantly 24/7 in anguish. How do I fight this? First of all, you're going to break the curse of anguish upon your life. How do I do that? I want you to stop at when you get home, if that's your case, and think on your lineage. Who in your family was always in a bad mood, always sad, always crying? Oh, that was my grandfather. Then you go out there. In the name of Jesus, I break every legal rights and every curse of anguish that came to me through my grandfather. That's it? Nope. You wrap up by saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am choosing to be happy instead of anguished. Well, preacher, but you don't know what I'm going through. Well, if being anguished would do anything, you wouldn't be anguished. Does it make sense? So let's try something for a change. I'm going to choose to be happy in the Lord. Because my Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. When?
Always.
And again I say,
rejoice.
I'm going to pray breaking that curse. And now I'm going to enforce the word of God upon my life. Did you know that happiness is a choice? Y'all know that? Happiness is a choice. Brother Harry, give me on the Message Bible, Job 17:1. Here's another spirit that we have to get rid of it. Job 17:1. It is called in Hebrew Ruach Chabal. C-H-A-B-A-L. Chabal. This is not the same broken spirit that David is talking about. My spirit is broken. My days used up. My grave dug and waited. Let me give you some example here. The word chabal means destroyed, withhold from, corrupt, travailed. You didn't get it. A broken spirit is a beaten up spirit, shattered spirit that is no longer whole. A broken spirit is a weakened spirit to the point that it becomes inoperative. This is what he's talking about. How many people you have said, let's go to church? I don't know. I'm so tired. I'm going to stay home. I work the whole week. I need to rest a little bit. Besides, I've been in church for so much time, and I don't feel like going to church. Ever heard that before? That is a ruach chabal. A broken spirit. A spirit that has been beaten up and down life's journey. How do I do that? How do you handle that? The person suffering from that kind of stuff have to take a stand. Like what? Take a look on your lineage. Who in your lineage were indifferent to church things because of some misadventure they had with church people? who in the family had had some disappointing time in church to the point that they were so broken that they don't want to go to church anymore. Have you met somebody who said, well, I don't even want to hear about church. I've had enough of church. You met something like that? That's an evil spirit. Then we have to take authority upon that thing, break the yoke, resist the thing, and it will go away. You know what? Give me Job 32:18. Job 32:18. Watch this. Here's another one, very common in church, among church people. I've got a lot to say, and I'm bursting to say it. What is this? Let's go to the NIV. Same thing on the NIV. Never inspired version. For I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me. Well, I'm still not getting, preacher. This is going to mess up your day. Let's get a little holy here. Give me the New King James here. Watch this. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. What is wrong to be compelled by the spirit? It's not the spirit of God. It's a spirit that is always looking for attention. Did we hear what we just said here? Anybody hear what I said?
Yes.
The name of the spirit is Tsuah. T-S-U-A-H. It's something that will oppress constantly. Something that's going to be pressing constantly so that the attention can come upon me. We don't have this kind of stuff in our church, but y'all know somebody that had that kind of stuff, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to have a conversation, and before you finish that sentence, the person just jump in, blah, 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 and they will not stop. So finally, when they stop, you try to say something, they jump in again. And no matter what you say, it's always wrong. They always know what is right. Do we know somebody like that? Is it only me or somebody here knows somebody like this? That's an oppression. That's a curse. That's a sui spirit. And this actually happens because that person was put down so many times in life. You good for nothing. You idiot. You can never do something right. You never be nothing in life. The evil spirit jumps in. And the human nature in itself is to fight back. And because they don't know about this, they will talk you to death. Because they want to grab attention to prove to themselves and on the back of their mind that they are not what mom and daddy said. Or what grandfather said when I was growing up. He was raising me and he always used to tell me that. Anybody heard about this before? On the family? How do I overcome this? Take that desire to crave the attention from you or upon you to the streets and start talking about Jesus to the drug dealers. This is how you overcome it. Are we together here? Take that same passion to have all the attention in church upon you to the streets and beat up the devil right with his own weapon. Here comes another one. Brother, can you give him there 1 Timothy 4:1? It's called Pneuman Planus in Greek. Pneuma planus, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma planus, P-L-A-N-O-S. What is a pneuma planus? Watch this. Now, the Spirit expressly says that today, latter days for them, some will depart from the faith. Is that right?
Yes.
Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We have some that has departed from this congregation recently because they gave heed to pneuma planus. What is a Neumann planus? It's an imposter. A Neumann planus, or a spirit of deception, is a misleading spirit. I know somebody that suffered from Ruach Tisua that want to have the attention all the time upon this, upon themselves. And this person wants to all cost to come in front behind this pulpit on Sunday morning. I said, no, no, and no. Whenever you're ready for that, you have your chance. I'm dreaming with the day when I will have people good enough to stand behind the pulpit and I'll sit down in the back and listen to them. But you're not there yet. Well, a deceiving spirit came here and told this person, this deceiving spirit was among us for a while, and told this person, I'm opening my own church and you have to come with me because you are a preacher by nature. And the poor soul followed that deceiving spirit. Within the first three trying, reality kicked in. It is not as easy as it seems like. That person is now in the world. Is now in the world. I said the doors of BCFC is always open for you. You're a little lousy, but we still love you anyway. And if you show up, you see everybody will embrace you. The Spirit says expressly that in the last days or latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrines of demons. So a Neumann planus, or a spirit of deception, is a lying spirit, is a dishonest spirit. It's a pretending spirit. You know what? Put this on the Message Bible here. Help them. Let's help them to get it a little easier. Let's read it. The Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, you get that? That's a spirit. There are professional liars that is used as a mouthpiece by the devil to get God's people away. A preacher passed by and he had the audacity to come. Who's the pastor here? I don't like when somebody come in such a presumptuous way. I said, who's asking? And this beloved was a prophet, a doctor, an apostle, and a reverend. Boy, you surely got too much thing on you. I must say, prophesy to me, prophet. If you're a prophet, you're supposed to know who the pastor is here. Don't you have some connection in heaven or something? And ask him, how may I pray for you? Oh, nothing of a kind. The Lord told me to come and preach in your church. I told him, I think you're in the wrong church. Maybe it's the one down the street. Is this the Christian Faith Center? I said, yes, it is. That's where I'm supposed to preach. Said, no, it's not. Excuse me? It's not. You say I'm lying? I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm saying that it's not where you're supposed to preach. God told me that. I said, I don't know which God you're talking about. But I was talking to Jesus this morning. He never mentioned anything about you. And by the way, I check into work 4 o'clock every day. For the last 5 years, he have never spoken a word about you. This is absurd. Maybe it's the church down the street. It's just a little mistake because we are in the same complex. I told him, it's the church down the street. He jumped into his car and he's left. Lying spirit. Try somewhere else. How does the lying spirit get into the church and deceives people today? It will take me about 5 hours to talk about this. But I will not. I will just give you some examples. How in the world, listen carefully to me now, how in the world you read on the Bible that God is the one who gives life? Isn't that right? How many of you have now the power to say something and make a life come into existence? So life is given by God, right? And God says, thou shall not murder. Isn't that right? Yeah. How in the world, you being a church person, saying that you believe in God and being a Christian, will ever agree to murder a child? Well, it's not a child, it's a fetus. Yes, you dummy. A people come from a fetus. A child just does boom, come in your belly, and whoop, come out. No, it starts as a fetus and develop. And when you, as a church goer, a Bible-believing person, are siding up with somebody who says that it's okay to kill a baby, even if it is 7 weeks old, you are becoming deceived by a demonic illusion from a professional liar. And this is why a lot of people think you'll make it to heaven, they'll be surprised. Jesus come, the church is gone. What is going on here? Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, hold on, Lord. I used to go to the first Psalmist, whatever church. Why am I here? Now, how in the world you can tell me now that I have to marry a man to a man when God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve? Are you with me here? These are professional liars that will come with demonic illusions. I like the way that the New Living Translation puts it. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith because there is a fake faith out there. You know that in Baltimore there is a gay church, right? In Baltimore. Has 1,000 members. The pastor is gay. The deacons are gay. And so are the elders. I don't know. No, he's Muslim. I mean, they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from who? How in the world can you, saying that you're a Bible-believing person and you are not married, and then you say you're going to live with your girlfriend, and then you're going to sort things out, and if things works out, you're going to marry later? This is called teachings that comes from demons. What is this? These are people living in a stronghold. I was talking to Jesus recently, and Jesus said that most of the people that suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's, they had a pornographic addiction on the past. And I just prayed for a man in Texas, and his mind is back. I prayed for another man in California this past week, and both of them can think, remember, and do everything that they did before. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, Lord, if I'm going to tell this in church, somebody may beat me up at the door. So how can I explain this? Your brain has the power to retain 15 trillion pictures a day. That's science. It's on the books. When you go out and you are watching a porno movie or going through a porno magazine, whether it's in a magazine itself or in the internet, those pictures will be stored on the brain. Are you with me so far, right? When you do this several times, those images will be there, stored. it will come back to you. So you already sin because you're not supposed to know anybody's naked but your spouse. I don't have a spouse. Get one. If that's your problem, get one. I got a date first. No, you don't have to date. And I will prove to anybody that if you're dating, you're sinning. Unless you're bold enough to show me which scripture say, go date for 6 months and then get married. There isn't in the scripture. Now the problem is we are lazy and we don't want to be in God's presence on our face looking for a spouse. So it's just easy to go and date. Indian people from India, they meet their spouses 30 minutes before their marriage. And did you know that the divorce rate among them is 0.4, not even 1%. It's a fourth of 1%. How come unbelievers can do that and Christian people can do that? Because they are fallen teachings of demons. Because they are under a curse. And we'll deal with this when we come to sexual perversion curse. Are we seeing the same page here? So what you're saying, preacher? You and I got to stand up for what is right and for what is truth. Because on the moment that we start giving up ground to what we know that is truth, guess what? We give legal rights to any demon. This man called, he's from California, he's a preacher, by the way, a chosen frozen preacher. And somehow, he heard about whatever is happening here. His wife called and said, can you pray for my husband? I said, no. Is this Pastor Paul? I said, yes. Can you pray for my husband? I said, no. This is so and so and so, and I'm the wife of Reverend Dr. Pastor, so blah, 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 blah. Can you pray for my husband? I said, no. And there was a silence. Why do you keep saying no? Who needs prayer? My husband. Tell him to call. Why? He's the one who needs prayer, not you. How do I know that you're not trying to manipulate the man? Excuse me? I said, lady, you called here, and this is how I do business. If your husband needs prayer, tell him to call me. And here's my cell phone number. I'm calling you from California. It doesn't matter. I got a call from China. Lo and behold, within an hour, the husband calls. And then he goes on the list of how much good deeds that this is going to be a chosen frozen. So, brother, can you stop? Excuse me? I didn't finish. I don't want to hear you finish. You're not scoring points with God, neither with me. So let's get straight to the point. How may I pray for you? I've been diagnosed with dementia, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Now, are you ready to renounce the sexual immorality sin? Excuse me? Do you know I'm Pastor, Doctor, Reverend, blah, blah, blah? I said, brother, save it. Save it to Oprah. Huh? Let's get into the thing. There was a pause, and he said, I don't know. You must be really good or you're very presumptuous, and neither or. I'm just a man of God. That's all. Then I told him, you're wasting my time, so let's get moving. On your basement, when you go down in your basement, yes, there's a pool table right in the center. Yes. To the left side, there's a big shelf. Yes. On the bottom of that shelf, there's two doors that are locked. Yes. And inside those two doors, there's 109 magazine, Playboy magazine. He goes, my God. Did my wife tell you that? I said, she doesn't know that, and you know that she doesn't know that. He goes, my God. Now, did I get your attention? Yes, sir. Are you ready to renounce the curse of pornography? Yes, sir. And I told him, and you know there's more than this, but I'll let you do that. And then he asked me, how do I do that? Are you sorry for this?
Absolutely.
Is that something for a preacher? No. Then tell God that. Say, I don't even know how to pray. You don't have to know anything. Just tell God how you're feeling about this. And he went on and he did that 10 minutes prayer. This is something with chosen frozen people. You think by choosing beautiful words, you're not impressing God, dude. Just go straight to the point. God, I messed up. I have 109 Playboy magazine that I go back and forth looking to it. That's all. Well, finally, we got through it. I said, there's something you're still forgetting. No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
Who are you? I said, the guy that you called for prayer, remember? Oh, yes. In 1989, I said, that's it. I will not tell you what happened in 1989. He confessed that to God. And after that, I led him in a prayer renouncing the sin of pornography. And I said, when I finish with you, you're going to go now to talk to your son and to your daughter. Why? They are affected by your sins. Excuse me? Your daughter is having sex right now at home. That's impossible. So this is a problem with liberals, you know, chosen frozen people. So we led him in a prayer. He goes on to say, something is happening to me right now. What? There's a heat going on in my head right now. Say, God is purging all that garbage out of you. Your memory. He called in yesterday. Thank you so much. See, you don't have to thank me for anything. Jesus did it. I just led you through. And said, and yes, my daughter was having sex in my house. I said, it's a legal claim that the demon had upon you and passed to your children. Did you lead her in praying? Yes, I did. And I called the young man, and they're going to get married. So now that's the way to go. Folks, deceptive, deceiving spirit will infiltrate the church and tell people it's okay for two young people to live together, friends with benefits, without being married. Guess what? That's a teaching that comes from demon. And I'll tell you one more thing. Don't get upset with it. It's not going to be until you renounce and break that curse that things will start changing on your life. What does it got to do with Alzheimer's? Those images will be stored in there. Back and forth, here and now, or now and then, you will be visiting those pictures. The problem is, you will never be able to have that person that you saw on those movies. Then it leads to a delusion phase where now you're going to be wandering. You're going to be dream daylight with your eyes open. And that's when the demons seal the control upon people's mind. And that's no longer a person can think by themselves. And that's when they are diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's. Because now the devil has full control of their brain, of their thinking power. Can it be healed? Absolutely. We just have two people healed this week. So what you're saying, preacher? I want to talk about the sleeping spirit, but it's too late. Let me stop here, and we'll continue next week. I may even give you a copy of this. I may even make a copy and make it available for you. Let me wrap up this by saying this. You and I do not have to be under any curses. Can you put up there Galatians 3:13-14? You and I do not have to be under any curse. Did you hear what I said? You and I do not have to be under any bondage. Why? For the very simple fact, let's get a little holy here. Give me the New King James. Christ has, which means, bought us back from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Listen to this. On the moment that Jesus Christ was hung on that cross, all curses that existed there and then and now was nailed at Calvary Cross. And how come Christians are still living under curse? Because they have never taken possession of the freedom and deliverance that the cross give to everyone who wants to live a holy life. Why will the devil try to keep you under curse? Because he wants to prevent you from being blessed by God and from enjoying the blessings that is rightfully yours. Can you put only verse 14 there? You saw that in verse 13 says that Jesus Christ has bought us back, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why would he do that? That the blessing of might upon who? Are you a Gentile? So that's your blessing, is that right? But if you are under a curse, you cannot enjoy the blessings of Abraham that came to you, Gentiles. Are we together yet here? Abraham was known as a man of faith. If Satan can keep you under curse, your faith ain't gonna work. Are we together? And it says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Where? In Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If you remember in the beginning of the sermon, I said that your spirit is the center of your being. Remember that? And I told you when the Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit, that's where you get discernment from God. That's where you get understanding. Are you with me? That's when you can comprehend the things of God. If Satan can put a curse in your spirit, you are blinded. You cannot get the blessings of Abraham. And do you know how blessed Abraham was? Exodus 13:2. If you don't have that underline on your Bible, shame on you. Time to do it today. Genesis 13:2. God wants you to be curse-free because he wants you to enjoy the same blessings of Abraham that's supposed to come upon Gentiles. Now, what kind of blessing Abraham has? Let's read it. Abraham was very rich. Did you get the point? The devil wants to keep God's people under a curse, because then he can keep them poor. He can keep them as beggars. And they cannot live to the full potential of what God wants them to live. Are we still together? So, preacher, aren't you going to start breaking the curses? No. You're going to do it. Because I don't know which curse is molesting you. I ain't got no curse. Praise God then. Just thank God that you're curse free and you're healthy and wealthy and good looking like me, you know. And the whole nine yard. But God wants to break every single curse. It has already been nailed at Calvary Cross. That you Gentile people can be as blessed as Jewish people are. I hope we're still together here. Stand on your feet. We're going to have a general prayer here. And next week I'll have a copy of these things for you to take home. I want you to pray with me. Father God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Right now.
Right now.
I declare. That all the curses.
That are trying to connect to my life.
Or reside in my body.
My soul and my spirit.
Are revoked.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm choosing to believe this.
And I'm sticking with it.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce the curse of broken spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce the curse of pornography.
In the name of Jesus.
Whether it's through my own experience,
or my ancestors,
four generations back.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce right now.
The curse that came to my life.
Through deceiving spirits.
Operate on the life of my ancestors.
And my own life.
In the name of Jesus.
And finally, Lord,
I renounce the curse
of broken and crushed spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
I renounce that curse of inoperability.
That I can't operate properly.
Because my spirit is crushed.
I renounce that curse.
And I send it back to the pits of hell.
In the name of Jesus.
Devil.
I put you on notice.
Get all your garbage.
And get out of my life.
Once and for all.
And just stay out.
In Jesus' name.
I cover myself.
Under the blood of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Let us prepare to take the Lord's Supper. All who have accepted Jesus as their Savior are welcome to partake. We ask you to take the bread and the cup and hold it. We will take both of those together. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. If you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick and have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world.
I surrender all, Lord. I surrender all, Lord. For I have heard your call to lay my life down. I surrender all, Lord. Jesus, I surrender all. Join with me. I surrender all. I surrender all. For I have heard your call to lay my
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Son you sent to be our Savior, Lord. You sent him to carry all of our sins upon his body, taken to the cross so that we may live a righteous life, Lord. And by his stripes we were healed. So, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that he made for us, a sacrifice that we cannot understand, we will never understand. But through your glorious grace, Lord, may we be washed in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, may you reveal to us any sins for which we need to repent. For Lord, we wish to come to you in righteousness. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Let us eat. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink. Please pass your cups towards the center so we can collect those. Next, be preparing to take an offering. We will have two offerings. The first will be your tithes and offerings, and the second will be for the building fund. For honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine.